This is Peebs Gilder coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, with a special report. We've just received word that the cult cinema podcast B-Movie Mania has released a new t-shirt design that is currently for sale on their website, bmoviemania.com. The new shirt features all four of the self-proclaimed maniacs as cartoons, along with UFOs, the Chicago skyline, and some dope-ass lettering. The t-shirt was designed by artist Johnny Kay, and early reports indicate that the material is super soft, and the shirt is available in a wide variety of colors. It also comes in styles suitable for all genders. Oh. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm being told right now that you can order your own B-Movie Mania t-shirt by visiting store.bmoviemania.com or simply by going to bmoviemania.com. Reporting live from Chicago, this is Peebs Gilder, BMM News.
This is the future. The podcast, as we know it, is gone. Only four radical maniacs remain standing after the podcastocalypse. Whatever. Only four radical maniacs remain standing. And now, these four heroes prepare to discuss Turbo Kid on
B-Movie Mania!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
I'm trying to, how do you do the sound of cards in your spokes with your mouth?
I sound really creepy doing that. Anyway. And hello, if we can get around the noise, I'd like to introduce the crew and welcome everyone to B-Movie Mania. I am, well, probably your least favorite B-Movie Maniac compared to Mike Hayes. Chris Hudson, as always, I am here. And with me is Jason Hulls.
I'm a robot.
And Mike Hayes, who I assume is not a robot.
No, I am a robot.
Oh, shit. Paul Brooks, are you a robot?
It's the power you feel when you get your taste of the glory.
Wait, was that your quick take?
So no, the answer is no.
Oh, all right, thanks.
And no, that was not my quick take.
Is that similar to proof that you have a real working heart? Is that right, Paul?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's good. I'm glad at least one of us has a real working heart. My head is actually duct taped onto my body. But our listeners are probably wondering what the hell we're talking about, unless they read the title before they started listening to the podcast.
Which they probably did.
And you said it before the intro, too.
You know, I think our fans at this point are so into what we do, and they're so loyal to us, they don't even need to look at the episode titles or the movies to know that this is going to be quality.
All right. Well, then, in that case, this is to you, our most dedicated listener. We watched Turbo Kid. When was it made? I've got notes, and I totally forgot to write down what year it was.
2016 from. It came out.
1997?
2015.
Sorry.
It says it takes place in 1997, so it's kind of an alternate Earth, I guess.
In the post-apocalypse caused by acid rain.
Which was a big problem in the 80s, if you're one of our younger listeners who don't know what acid rain is. Written and directed by Francois Simard. I hope I am... There's no way I'm going to pronounce these correctly. Anouk Whistle.
Sounded pretty good.
So Francois Simard, Anouk Whistle, and Jan Carl Whistle. And starring Monroe Chambers, Lawrence Leboeuf, and everyone's favorite B-movie villain, Michael Ironside.
Oh, yeah.
I guess A-list villain, too. He's been in some good shit.
And you could say everyone's favorite LaBeouf, too, because there's not many of them, and there's prefer this one over the other one.
Oh, hell yeah. Definitely.
You don't see too many movies. You see a couple movies that are directed by two people. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie that's legitimately directed by three people, unless you're talking about the new Queen movie.
Oh. Well, did the
but that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, but did the three directors also write the Queen movie? Because they sure did on this one.
No, they did not.
Well, this may be a first.
Yeah, this trio has been working together prior to this movie for like 10 years doing short films. And and in fact, the original short that this movie's based on was actually a submission to the ABCs of Death contest for the letter T.
Huh. Yeah.
So,
well, what do you know?
What is T for?
T is for Turbo, is what it would have been. It did not make it into the original film, but the producers of ABCs of Death liked it so much that they actually produced Turbo Kid.
That makes sense because it doesn't really seem to fit the style of ABCs of Death, really. It's not a horrific movie in the sense of what some of the other stuff in that anthology is, right?
Well, did you see the short film, the original short?
I didn't get around to it, no.
Okay. It's a bit different. There's some similar characters in it. It's 5 minutes long, but let's say that there is death in it and maybe no one comes out alive.
Oh my gosh.
That was the most surprising thing about the short for me.
Can we
agreed?
Can we post a link to that?
Oh yeah, we totally should.
Yeah, I bet you we posted it before we put this up, maybe through a little Throwback Thursday ahead of time so people can watch the short before the movie if they want.
Very nice.
You know, I'm going to give that some clinkies, Mike. Thank you.
Great.
So let's do a quick description real quick before we do our quick takes. So Wikipedia, I'm pulling the description from crowdsourced sources this time. So yeah, the film follows the adventures of The Kid, a teenage boy turned superhero in the Wastelands, an alternate 1997 Earth where water is scarce. He teams up with a mysterious girl named Apple and an arm-wrestling cowboy named Frederick to stop the tyrannical warlord Zeus.
I will destroy you with my Turbo Glove, the ultimate weapon against the robot threat. But to be a true hero, you'll have to save your girlfriend.
Hey, what's that in your hand?
It's a comic book.
What's it about?
It's about Turbo Rider.
That's rad.
So hey, quick takes.
Quick takes.
All right, Paul, let's hear your quick take. I'm going to go reverse.
It's the power you feel when you get your taste of the glory.
I knew it.
Oh, shit. I mean, what else are you going to do, you know?
That's fair. Mike.
Oh, God. Well, my quick take is, what are you doing? What? Listener, what are you doing? Stop. Stop listening. Stop this podcast right now and just listen to the soundtrack to this fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck this podcast. Just listen to the soundtrack. That's all you need.
You know what we could do is, you know how on a Talking Cat, Jay insisted that we play the background music under the whole thing? We could just put the Power of the Glory underneath this whole episode.
It would be so weird because there's so much of us where we're not hearing it while we're talking, so we won't be talking in the right kind of mood.
Well, we could try.
No, I'm editing this and that's not happening.
Let's do our quick takes.
Quick takes. What do you do with the power of the quick takes? Jay, what's your quick take?
Turbo Kid strikes hard, it strikes fast, and it shows no mercy.
Oh, wow.
And Skeletron is awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like something you'd see on the back of the box.
Yeah, it very well could be. Also, it could be something that you hear in The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
But I think that, you know, that would actually be on the back of the box to The Karate Kid under a picture of Skeletron.
I think Skeletron was in The Karate Kid.
He probably was. He's one of the Cobra Kai guys.
It looks like he was.
Yeah. So they had to have just, you know, been like trying to come up with names for the bad guys, and they're like, well, who are some bad guys from the 80s? You got Skeletor, you got Megatron, and they just mashed that together, right?
Yeah. Yep.
They made them fuck, and this is what they got.
And Skeletron was human, right? Like,
Yeah.
Yeah. He was very human because of his death.
He had way more than 10 gallons of blood in his body. He had all the water of the wasteland sucked up into his body.
Well, what about you, Hudson? What's your quick take?
Yeah, what's your quick take, Chris?
My quick take? Well, I don't remember all the words, but...
You can't do that. That's mine. I did it twice already.
Hey, but you remembered the words, Paul.
Obviously, we all loved the soundtrack. Yeah, this is ridiculous.
The music was amazing. I love the music, and I really wish I'd listened to it more closely.
The music fit perfectly for that 80s vibe, but not just the music, but pretty much everything was a great homage to the era of movies. The production design, I think, is fantastic through the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
It peppers in these, like really well thought out production design, but with also gags. Everybody in the movie rides bikes. Everybody. There's not a vehicle to be found. Everyone's riding bikes. So that's it's kind of funny, but as you're watching the movie, you just kind of get into that, and it's still funny, but you just kind of accept it and move on,
And not just, and what I loved about it, not just bikes, but those BMX bikes that were really huge that everyone rode in the 80s.
Yeah.
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 Not surprising that the makers of this film cite BMX Bandits as the biggest influence in this movie. Not just the BMX bikes, not just the fact that they got the same model of BMX for the main guy, but they also constructed the color, the color of the film influenced by BMX Bandits.
That makes sense.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. I like the, this is going to sound, maybe we're treading toward film nerddom, but I really like the use of the color yellow.
A podcast, Chris, you're gonna get nerdy about a movie?
Well, yeah, that's true. I guess that's what we
I
do
told
here,
you, Chris. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the use of the color yellow was really, I thought, interesting. I just popped out a lot, and I was just really impressed with the look of the movie.
Yeah, it was beautifully shot.
But before we get too much further into the discussion, I just want to kind of give a quick little overview of the plot, so viewers have a little frame of viewers. They're watching a podcast. Ha 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 ha.
It might be. You could say, can I give it a shot, Chris? Can I give a real succinct description of the plot?
You do it, Mike. Go for it.
Look, it's Mad Max on BMX bikes, except there's a lot more scavenging and a lot more blood.
Oh, God, the blood.
So much blood.
The end. I mean, that's maybe just a general feel of the movie, but...
You do yours.
Yeah, let's hear it, Chris.
Oh no, that's all I got. You had it. That's exactly what I was going to say, Mike.
Well, the kid's running away. There's a turbo kid, and he's running. He meets a new friend. He's running away from the bad guys. He keeps scavenging. The bad guys keep finding him. Keeps having to fight the bad guys, and then at some point, someone wins.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, you've got a little bit of a turbo glove, sort of 80s power glove sort of thing that explodes people, and a villain who turns people into water that people drink in the wasteland.
That was a pretty cool little bit, too. He has a machine that he crushes people in and extracts the water out of their bodies and then sells it to people.
You like science? I absolutely love it. For example, do you know how much water there is in the average human body? Your blood is 83% water. Your muscle tissue, 75%. The gristle and cartilage around your bones, 55%. Bones themselves, 25%. And your noggin up here, the old gray matter, is 90% water, which brings the grand total to 10 precious gallons of H2O. 10 gallons, which this machine is designed to extract.
I mean, Turbo Kid is just as much water as Skeletron, who apparently had looked like he had 50 gallons, but...
God, Skeletron was so fucking good. Can someone describe... I can't bring it to words. Can someone do it?
He's like... Skeletron is like one of those, Day of the Dead masks, but it's made of steel. And then he's got, these crazy... a black blowout behind the mask.
I thought it was his hair.
It kind of looks like hair. It looks like hair. It might have been, but it was just...
I think it's the tufts of his hair, just coming out. Because he had a big leather band in the back.
It just looks so great. 80s, awesome. And he's got a gigantic buzzsaw on his arm. Yes. That, I mean, he uses that thing through the whole movie. He's shooting buzzsaws. He's cutting people up with this thing.
I think an important part of his look are the football shoulder pads he wears.
Yeah. And also, let's not undersell the mannerisms, too. Like, he has great mannerisms. Like, no matter what's going on, he acts super excited, and his movements are super, like, jagged and excited, but he doesn't ever say anything or make a peep.
Never says anything. You know, I want to say, though, the only way he could look more 80s is if he had a halter top on under his shoulder pads.
Maybe like a fanny pack made of skin.
Yeah, that is probably the only missed opportunity in this movie.
Hey, you know, there's supposed to be a Turbo Kid, too. I guess Skeletron's dead, but, yeah. You know.
Is he, though?
Well, maybe not.
He'll just be like, he'll just be like a wagon of intestines with buzzsaws around it. I've never seen so many intestines in another movie.
Oh, God,
this movie just rocked on just ripping intestines out of people's bodies.
Oh, yeah.
There is an equivalent percentage of violent parts in this movie as there is water in the human body.
50 gallons.
I was a little nervous going into this, kind of in the same way, actually, that I was a little nervous going into... when I started watching Stranger Things, because I'm like, okay, 80s homage, you know, that's fine, but how are they going to handle it? But what I thought was interesting, you know, we're talking about all this blood and everything. It wasn't just a direct homage. They put sort of that more modern twist on it. And I thought the combination of those two, the like Jay mentioned, you know, the yellows and the color palette and everything, sort of mixed with, like, you know, there's definitely a lot of CG in the movie, or a decent amount, and there's a lot of gore, and the sort of marriage of those two things actually worked better than it should have, I think.
Yeah.
It really did.
The other movie that kind of straddles that line, in my opinion, is Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yes.
Yeah.
That does it well. Well, speaking of the gore in this movie, there's these guys called the Blood Brothers that the directors know. And these Blood Brothers built a special rig, apparently, to do the blood for this film. So it was all pressurized, and it would just do all the blood for them. And you could control it in such a perfect way that they didn't even have to use squibs for the bullet shots. They could use this rig and hook up the tubes that way to do fucking bullet shots.
I've heard
of
doing that.
Which is insane.
I've heard of doing that, and I think we actually tried it many years ago, and it did not work the same as it should have. It was not as successful as it should have
been. Blood Brothers.
Yeah, these Blood Brothers also apparently built something they call a gore cannon, which, having seen the movie, I imagine I can see the after effect of it, because there is blood and gore just all over this fucking thing.
The torso getting stuck on the other guy's head.
Oh, yeah.
That was a gag from the original short. They put they got the torso on the head. I mean, they cranked it up a bit. Like, in the short, it was like maybe a 8 or 9 on the violent scale, and in this movie, they cranked it up to like an 11. They got the guy's torso on, they cut a guy in half. The guy's torso is on one other villain, and then the guy's legs are on another villain, and everything's still kicking and moving. It's just completely absurd.
That was toward the end of the movie, so they're just like, whatever,
let's just go for it.
And, you know, you're talking about the end of the movie right there. If I have a piece of criticism, I think that might be one of the things, is that the amount of gore, it doesn't keep getting ratcheted up. It's pretty much, you know, cranked up to 10 from the first fight to the last fight. And for me, by the end of it, I did start to, it started to lose its effect just a little bit because of that, I think.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, let's back up just a little bit first, because throughout the beginning part of the movie, Turbo Kid, he's reading this comic book called Turbo Rider.
Yeah.
And it's about this adventure, this guy who's got a big power glove and helmet and blah, 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 whatever. And he actually finds the real Turbo Rider.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. Can somebody please explain that?
See, I thought that was just I thought he just made himself into a Turbo Rider-like character because he found this particular weapon. Was that supposed to be the Turbo Rider?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
That is Turbo Rider. What happened is the world, this is post-apocalyptic, and what happened is robots destroyed the world. That's what happened in this universe. So as we start interacting with robots throughout the story, that's why it's such like a crazy thing when you find out someone's a robot, because they're evil, usually, which at some point, we'll get into the character Apple, but when he finds out she's a robot, he's freaked out. And then she says, aren't you evil? And she says, "That it depends on the model." And like, it's a whole thing of that's what happened. So when he falls in the bunker, like you were saying, Jay, and he finds the Turbo Rider, there's a screen with like a colonel, an old military message playing. And he's like, we got to give all these robots what we've got left. And we got to save humanity and all this kind of stuff. And he's supposed to be some sort of superhero that has become a legend. He was technically a Turbo Rider, and then he donned his armor and stuff like that and his cool power glove.
So you're saying that because of that, after the apocalypse, then somebody made a comic book based on the real Turbo Rider.
See, that seems a little far-fetched, right, as I was saying it.
I'm guessing maybe, pre-apocalypse.
Right. Well, there is a John McCain comic.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe there are multiple Turbo Riders or something like that, right? And so they made comics about them, like the military does now, right?
Like
sponsor
John McCain.
Video games, they sponsor all that kind of shit, like like John McCain does.
I have the John McCain
Turbo Rider, John McCain.
It's not. I would say in it seems far fetched, but it is absolutely what happens in our reality in terms of the military using propaganda to influence the young.
Oh, so you know. Turbo Kid got sucked into some propaganda.
Yeah, I don't think it's as nefarious as that, but it's not. It happens in today's world. So
I'm not saying that I necessarily minded it. It was just the only part of the movie where I'm like, wait, what? Everything else made sense, but then he finds like a real life superhero who's dead, and I'm just like, huh, okay.
So we mentioned Apple, and she's kind of the robot sidekick who is a friendship model who hangs out with Turbo Kid now because he's her new friend.
Yeah.
And
her old friend's gone.
and we find out she's a robot later on, but there's another kind of side-ish character that comes along I want to talk about. Frederick, the arm wrestler.
Yeah, Frederick is awesome.
Frederick's pretty great.
So let's talk about the cantina and Frederick's introduction in the arm wrestling.
Are you going to play nice, Mr. Bird? Huh? Are you going to play nice?
Okay! Okay.
Drinks are on you.
Yeah!
He's an arm wrestler, and he's arm wrestling this dude with like a skull built onto his head, like an animal skull, and they're fighting over toasters. So whoever loses gets burned.
They're not fighting to win a toaster. They literally toasters
right
underneath them.
The loser will have his hand burned, but on a toaster.
Yeah,
it's like a branding thing. Iron. Like you lost to this person, you get their like mark or whatever branded on you.
which seems to be a running thing, because later in the movie there's another arm wrestling match and they're over blenders. So maybe it's all about kitchen appliances
and
in
fire.
This.
Let's talk about that for a moment.
Blades and fire.
So after Frederick's introduction, we find out about that his brother has been captured by Zeus, Michael Ironside, who is forced to fight in an arena that we'll get to the whole arena thing later on. So Frederick goes to try to get his brother back, but he's captured. And here's the other arm wrestling scene with blades and what, Jay?
Fire! Blades and fire!
And there's more. Blades and fire!
But it doesn't really work too well.
They've got two blunders, like with just the exposed blades and fire shooting out of them for some reason. It's completely ridiculous.
Well, just for a minute, though.
Yeah, just for a minute.
Yeah, like the fire shoots out and then the fire fails and the guy who was supposed to build the arm wrestling apparatus gets choked by Zeus because the fire doesn't work.
I mean, Zeus is really into this fire.
Yeah. See, and here's another thing I like that Frederick did in this scene, because as soon as it's clear that like the fire isn't spraying out, there's guys all over the place, and Frederick just starts punching everybody.
Yeah. He headbutts Skeletron.
Yeah, it's great.
And the thing that got me about this part is he goes to punch Zeus, and Zeus catches his fist. Then Skeletron just comes up and chops Frederick's hand off. Just yeah. right off the bat. All right,
takes
hero.
Away his livelihood immediately.
Yeah. That's, yeah. His arm wrestling hand.
This is also probably the best one-liners in the movie right here. And you know what? I'm just going to put in the whole clip right here because it's so the sort great. Of thing that you got to really hear all the way through.
Think I didn't see that coming? I have eyes everywhere. From where I stand, I only see one. Kill you with my bare hands.
Well, from where I stand, I only see one.
Yep. We should also mention that Frederick is dressed like, I mean, Indiana Jones, right? Like, that's who he's dressed as. Okay. Yeah. But and it's fantastic. Like,
with a New Zealand accent.
Yes.
It's a little bit of Briscoe County Jr. thrown in there.
Oh, I could see a little Briscoe JR. Yeah.
You know, we really need to, I know that we've already backed up twice on this, but I want to talk for a substantial part of this about Apple, because in my mind, she's 100% the star of the show and really steals this entire movie in my book.
Yeah. Well, what about her, Paul?
Well, I think it's interesting.
Is the star of the show and...
No, we heard that, Jayla.
Is she really interesting? Does she steal the show?
Well, you know, we don't find out that she's a robot until, I don't know, maybe halfway through the film, right?
Yeah.
She just seems like another normal girl in the wasteland.
Yeah, Zeus shoots her, and we find out that,
initially, it comes across like maybe her character is going to get really old really fast because she's so excited and so happy about everything. And it's the middle of the goddamn apocalypse, so you're like, what is with this girl?
Just unbridled enthusiasm for everything.
This is so pretty. This is my weapon. This is my gnome stick! Ah! Ah! I really like it a lot. Thank you so much.
Well, you know instantly that something's wrong, because when she does, like, appear next to the kid, she says goodbye to her old friend, who is a very decomposed corpse that she's apparently been carrying around.
By the way, this might be a good opportunity to mention that there is a short film / music video on
prequel.
It's an Apple prequel about her character and that decomposed skeleton on YouTube. It came out in September.
It's not.
What?
It's not actually that same guy.
It's a different guy?
I thought it was.
I wondered that too.
Because in the prequel, it's so well done. It's very good. But she picks up this decomposing corpse of a man who she knew when he was alive, but she's been staying with while he's dead. And she picks him up to try to get away from danger, and the bottom of his body just stays, and the top comes up. And so throughout the rest of that video, she's carrying around this legless corpse.
Just a torso.
Yeah, just the torso. But in the movie, that corpse has legs and it is a different helmet. I thought it was going to be the same.
Yeah,
so that means
that did cross my mind.
I noticed the legs. I thought it was the same helmet though. But.
Yeah, I did too. I went back and checked, and it's not. So that means she has had at least one other person die with her that she's carried around, which adds, I think, a lot more to it. I thought it was a little goofy at first, but like, no, wait a minute. That adds a whole other level of insanity to this woman.
I mean, she's probably been doing this for years. I mean, who knows how long the apocalypse has been going on for. Yeah.
I think it's really clever that it's someone different.
Everyone should watch the short. It really is good, and it's very in-world. It introduces new places and like new characters, like new factions almost that exist in the world. It's very cool.
Well, one thing about her happiness is when they're in. So Turbo, she's captured too eventually, and Turbo Kid goes to rescue her, and they're all captured, and they've got a fight in this pool, and this is where we find out about the water. Zeus is harvesting water from people's bodies, and he's putting them in these gladiatorial games. But they're about ready to fight, and Frederick tells Apple to go fight one of the other guys, and she takes after it. She's got her gnome stick that Turbo Kid made for her earlier.
Just a
garden gnome taped to a log.
Girl, what is that thing? A dwarf?
No, that's my gnome stick.
Okay, whatever. I want you to swing it as hard as you can at that motherfucker's face, yeah?
Sir, yes, sir!
And she just goes to town beating the shit out of this guy.
She, like, pulls a Leroy Jenkins and, like, oh, they're making the plans. And she's like, what? Attack? Okay. And just charges after the guy and starts beating on him with the gnome stick.
Well, this is, though, the first time that you see Apple die. Because she dies a handful of times throughout this movie.
Yeah.
I think every time you're like, oh, shit, is she done? Like, I was at least. I thought, oh, is she out of this movie? And yeah, they're, like, this sucked. Is the... This they kill her right here, and I think, like you were saying, Paul, you're like, oh man, oh shit, you find out she's a robot, and that's where it starts this weird new journey of the story, the new like emotional arc of the story of her being a robot, and what
that's
that
kinda
means.
That's kind of where you find out she won't die until her Legend of Zelda heart indicator runs out of hearts.
Very 80s.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. See, I have 7.5 hearts left.
The other major part of this movie that we haven't, I don't think, really touched on just yet is, and this is something that so many modern movies, I think, really struggle with, all of these characters are so likable, you know? You want to like all these characters and you want to see them succeed.
Which kind of put up a little bit of conflict in me because I really liked Apple, I really liked Turbo Kid, I really liked Frederick, but I also really liked Skeletron, and I wanted to see everyone succeed.
Skeletron is so good.
They're fun to like, but there's very clear distinctions between who you're supposed to be rooting for and who the bad guys are. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
You want to see Skeletron chop everyone up?
Yeah.
Well, he gets his chance to chop a shitload of people up.
He does.
I'll say this. I would watch a Skeletron prequel.
Just going to say.
If the filmmakers are listening, please do a Skeletron prequel.
But don't make the mistake of showing us what his life was like before the mask.
No.
No, we want Skeletron full mask and silent.
Yeah.
Chopping
either
people
that
up.
Or show us his life as a child, but he's just always had the mask on.
Yeah. He's very excited. He's got a little buzzsaw.
Little Fisher-Price saw before the war. So leading up to the robot's graveyard thing, they talk to, they find Begu, who was the proprietor of the arm wrestling / cantina earlier on. This leads into one of my favorite bits in the movie.
Yes.
When Skeletron captures Begu and he brings him to Zeus.
Oh God!
And Zeus knows that he talked to Turbo Kid and Apple, and Zeus really wants that power glove. And so
P.S. Real quick, just so I don't think we've actually said what the power glove does. Let me just say,
that's true.
Super high powered weapon that when Turbo Kid shoots somebody, they explode into mist.
Yeah,
pretty
so
much.
So that's it. Anyway, that just wanted to say why Zeus wanted this.
So they've got Begu. And he's sitting in a chair, and Zeus is giving a little monologue, and Skeletron is on, like, a stationary bicycle. But they've got attached to the back wheel of the bicycle is, like, I don't know, what, like a rope or something tied to Bagu's intestines. And they threaten him, like, okay, we're going to wrap up your intestines in this stationary bike unless you tell us, we know you saw the kid and this robot, tell us where they are.
I know that you know where they are. So I suggest that you start right away.
The robot cemetery! They're at the robot cemetery. That's all I know.
Well, that was quick.
Bagu's like, okay, I want to keep my intestines, and just spills the beans immediately. But Zeus is like, do you know how much effort this thing took to set up? Until Skeletron to start pedaling, takes the intestines anyway. So more intestines.
He's mad because the guy flipped too soon and he didn't get to use his torture weapon.
I'm telling you, they must have gotten a steal on fucking intestines because those things are everywhere.
Chris, I'm really glad you brought up this scene here because I have a little something I like to call a bike fact.
Oh boy.
God damn it.
Ring, ring. A bike fact.
Ring, ring.
Just so you know, it is common on a BMX bike like we have throughout this film to have a smaller back tire. And the reason you would have a smaller back tire on a bike, there's a variety of reasons, but one of them is to help with pedaling. So with a smaller back tire, it helps pedaling easier, so you can ride up steep inclines or pull in intestines so much more easily.
I had no idea.
It allows you to easily shift your weight backwards while lifting on the handlebar grip. That way the intestines get a real good rip once you get to the large ones.
Hey, while we're talking about bikes, I just want to, again, we mentioned how everyone rides bikes in this, but there are so many bike chases. You normally maybe have like a car chase or something, but it's all on BMX bikes.
But they're intense.
But they're really intense. They're strangely thrilling. But everyone's on a fucking bicycle. It's
like
great.
Even Indiana Jones, Frederick the arm wrestler, and his gang are riding bicycles.
He's got a little flag in the back of his.
Yeah, and a sidecar, or like a cart.
Yeah, it's so great.
Good way to keep the budget down, too. You don't have to build a bunch of, you know, Mad Max-style cars or anything.
Just build That's a bunch true. Of Mad Max-style bikes.
So, at this point, like, this is where Skeletron confronts... Everybody kind of gets to the robot graveyard at the same time, and Skeletron has a little tussle with Turbo Kid and Apple, and poor Apple ends up losing her head.
Literally.
Like, her head flies off. Apple gets... just the crap kicked out of her through the whole movie, and she's still smiling.
You could make it a drinking game. Every time she gets like hurt or you think she's dead,
you could
drink.
So Turbo Kid jumps to catch her head and falls into the robot graveyard, which is like kind of poisonous too, right?
Surrounded by like a poisonous mist.
The other thing you could make a drinking game out of is how many times Turbo Kid passes out in this movie.
God. Yep.
And every time he passes out, we get a flashback of him as a child watching his parents be murdered by Zeus.
Yep.
So you've got that connection.
I liked the flashbacks quite a bit. I thought they were pretty clever. They slowly built on each other on the story, and eventually you start seeing little things like Turbo Kid carries around a hammer, and then at some point you see one of his family members was using a hammer as a weapon, and like it slowly kind of builds, but it doesn't shove it in your face or anything. It was pretty well done, I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
His mom is a badass. She had a crossbow, took out Zeus's eye.
Yeah.
His father, maybe not so much. He gets chopped to bits by Skeletron. So
he does, but I do like how Zeus, Skeletron is going to drown the dad in a barrel, and Zeus points out how
he's got
nobody
fresh water.
Nobody gets a drowning death in the apocalypse.
It's a luxury, he says.
It's a luxury to drown.
Death by drowning. It's a luxury few men can afford.
I don't know if you guys caught this, but Zeus, played by Michael Ironside, always has a golf club he carries as a cane, and it is an iron.
Ooh.
By his side.
Wow.
Oh, look
very
at you.
Clever.
There's no way that was unintentional.
You just come up with that yourself?
Yeah. No, that's me watching the movie going, wait a minute. And
you know, I really hope that Michael Ironside listens to this episode and hasn't thought of that. And it's just
wait
a second. It's genius.
Mr. Ironside, if you're listening, please email us and let us know your thoughts.
He's not.
That's bmoviemaniapodcast@gmail.com.
Well,
he's not.
Michael, even if you're not, Michael Ironside, you should still email us and let us know what you think.
All right, Michael Ironside's assistant, please tweet back at us, because we will tag you.
We'll do a whole Michael Ironside spinoff podcast.
Okay, on it.
You could have a pretty good podcast with that.
Hudson's already picked fucking two Ironside movies. Of course, there's going to be a third next season. I mean...
What would that podcast be called? The Man in the Ironside?
I don't know. The Ironsides?
Pod...
Sides of Iron!
Well, there's the theme song.
So let's talk about how Turbo Kid brings Apple back, really, I guess.
Duct tape,
he just
baby.
Just finds a bunch of robot bodies just lying in the fucking pile. Duct tapes her head right on top of one.
Yeah. And then passes out
and
again.
And then passes out again.
He passes
out.
You
gotta get that last final
then
flashback.
Then the flashback. Yeah.
But it's great because he's saved by Frederick, and I thought that this was maybe like, what the fuck is Frederick doing at the robot cemetery? But they explain everything, that he just needed a new fucking hand.
Yep.
And he got a robot hand.
He has a robot hand now.
Yeah, move over, Jamie Lannister. This guy's fucking badass as hell.
It's also nice that Apple wakes up and really loves her new dress.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. Holy shit. It's so fun. Oh, my God. I loved it.
I love that dress.
And her new body is pretty much the exact same body as her old one, so that worked out well.
They did a really good job at making her new body look like her old body. It was interesting that they were able to pull that off.
Yeah, you're right. It probably was the exact same friendship model, and it worked out like that.
Well, yeah, by chance, you know. I think the practical effects team did a really good job at making it look the same.
Yeah.
It's her same body.
I don't understand.
Okay. That's fine.
It's movie magic.
She loves her dress and then is like, oh shit, I gotta go. So she leaves and then comes back for this unicorn head, which comes into glorious use later.
Yeah, that will pay off big later.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So Frederick gets a hold of the kid. He's in his cart, which we mentioned earlier, on his bike.
Don't forget, he's got a turbo mega blaster on his bike now.
They're gonna try to blow up Zeus.
Well, not just that, Jay. They're going to shove that thing so far up Zeus's ass, he's going to taste his own shit.
Yeah, Frederick has so many good lines. I think he's the only character who swears, and he swears a lot.
A lot.
It's fucking amazing.
There were a couple instances where I thought that they left a couple funny lines on the table, you know, and there were a couple missed opportunities here and there throughout the film.
Well, we should hit him up for the punch-up on Turbo Kid 2, Paul.
Yeah.
Speaking of Frederick being a crass motherfucker, right before he gets caught, like we mentioned earlier, he walks away from his gang and just starts taking a piss. And so someone joins him and starts peeing with him. And that's when Skeletron shows up behind them and just fucking shoots a chain or his buzzsaw into the other guy's back. And at that point, we've seen blood spraying everywhere throughout this film. But at this point, we get a real solid stream of piss just going everywhere along with blood.
It reminds me a lot of Mike, when your roommate Chris, who's been on the show,
told
me the story of you trying to take a pee when you were really drunk and falling down. I imagine it looked just like that.
Buzzsaw and everything.
Yeah. No, but the stream just whoop up in the air.
Oh, shit.
But you get a nice, like, 2 or 3 seconds of just golden fountain right in the air.
But I forget exactly what Frederick says, so please edit in right here that clip, because he takes his time and puts his dick away. Slowly, as he's turning around, just says something fucking dope-ass one-liner right there before he, like, beats the fuck out of people.
And here it is.
What a cheap move.
So that was probably kind of the first big fight scene, and now we're kind of coming up to the end with the super mega blaster, and there's Skeletron waiting for him again, and it's just Frederick and Turbo Kid at this point.
Against
a bunch of dudes, one of which has fucking hammer chucks.
Yes, yeah, nunchuck hammers. It's pretty great. There's a lot of really cool weapons in this scene.
Oh my God. And Skeletron's all over it, and Zeus gets shot with the turbo blaster, or the turbo glove. Doesn't explode, though, for some reason.
Big reveal.
Yeah.
Big reveal. But first, we got to get Skeletron's death. We got to talk about... Well, there are a few deaths we have to talk about. I think we talked about the torsos and the legs flailing, right?
Yeah,
there are
four bodies stacked on top of each other.
It's awesome.
Standing.
It's so funny.
Dude,
it's
the
so
jaw. Can we talk about the jaw?
Yeah.
Like... Frederick is fighting a guy at one point and just grabs the dude's jaw, rips it off of his face, and then rams the jaw into the rest of the guy's face. So he pulls the jaw off and rams it into the upper part of his head. It was just like so
nasty. Probably like the goriest part of the movie.
It was
pretty intense. Jay, though, you seem to have a bit of a jaw fetish. Is that something that's safe to say?
I think that's safe to say.
Okay, just curious.
We'll let people wonder about that. But,
yeah. And here's where Turbo Kid is. His turbo glove is out of juice after exploding a couple guys, if I remember right. And he's fighting this badass chick. And here's where we see Apple and her unicorn bike coming to save the day.
And when she comes back, she stabs Unicorn, Abominable Dr. Five style, into this chick's back.
No spoilers, we got that coming up still.
Abominable Dr. Fives?
For the marathon.
Yeah.
Oh, have you gotten? I'm sorry. I thought everyone had seen that classic. It's not. You'll figure it out.
I've heard the Misfits song.
She stabs a a woman who is choking Turbo Kid to death.
And then Turbo Kid's amazed to see her alive. And then we have this dialogue that happens.
Oh, am I putting that in right here?
You might want to, or I'll act it out for you, Paul. I'll act it out right now.
Okay, too. All right, cool. All yeah, right. Do it.
You didn't wait for me. I thought you were dead. No, I mean to start the fight.
Yep. She's pissed because she wasn't in the whole fight.
It's so good. And Apple brings him back the turbo glove, which he left at the Robo Graveyard.
That's why he didn't have
the turbo glove. He's been fighting without it. That's what's been going on, yeah.
But hey, let's talk about Skeletron's sad, sad ending. Stabbed with a patio umbrella. Sorry. Stabbed maybe does not give the right feel to that. More like impaled by a patio umbrella.
Over the course of like 45 seconds, slowly opens the umbrella, which doesn't push him off of the umbrella.
No.
Like you might think it would. It just explodes him.
It makes him explode, yeah. He gets impaled. Kid opens up the umbrella and Skeletron but he pretty much blows up.
Yeah. I love this. You see Skeletron's little like body parts and bits and mask fly off like off the on the ground. It's perfect clear blue sky right there. But they cut back to Turbo Kid and Apple raining blood everywhere.
And they're using the umbrella to shield themselves as they finally kiss, which they've been trying to do the whole movie.
It's beautiful.
Fucking perfect. It is fucking perfect.
But they still have his blood all over them. I mean, they're making out with lots of his blood.
Yeah. A little coppery, whatever.
Man, he's just been drinking a lot of that water.
Hey, his blood is 83% water, so. Oh, God.
True. And now we get possibly the biggest reveal of the movie.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The biggest surprise.
Zeus.
Definitely.
He's a robot. Specifically, he's like,
a corporate policy robot.
He's a corporate policy robot.
A CC-111 corporate companion.
Nice.
I am a CC-111 corporate companion designed to create and instigate corporate policy fashioned in the likeness of my master. He said to me, just before I bashed his head in with his own golf club. Remember, you're only a robot. Only a robot.
And Apple knew and didn't realize that Turbo Kid didn't know, but Apple knew about it already.
Yeah, that was funny. Like, they're talking about that, and Turbo Kid is blown away by this, and Apple's like, what, you didn't know?
Yeah. Now, what I like most about these corporate companion HR bots is they can breathe fire like a dragon.
So Michael Ironside kills everybody and movie's over.
Almost exactly opposite of that,
Jay. I'm just doing Mike's super.
He just kicks the super mega blaster at the flame breathing corporate Michael Ironside.
Yeah, his flame lightning breath thing actually charges up the turbo glove.
Yeah.
Which has been throughout the movie. I don't know how much we've mentioned it, but like, he's able to use it for a few shots, and then it has to charge up again. Yeah. So it's not like a super weapon.
It loses power at the speed of plot.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Speaking of sad parts, Chris, if you're sad the movie's almost over, then what about being sad about what happens to Apple?
Apple gives her robotic life to save Turbo Kid from the massive Zeus explosion.
She finally really dies.
Yep.
You did good, Turbo Kid. And when you watch the sky at night, I'll be there.
You think she'll be back for the sequel?
Yeah. I'm almost positive. That she will.
We've seen the prequel.
Well, maybe she'll just be a different model of the friendship bot.
Yeah.
I think it's actually a smart move, though, because, you know, if the sequel comes out in 2 years from now, cool, bring her back. But if it turns into one of these things where they do a sequel like 15 years from now or 20 years from now, and because she's a robot, she doesn't look the same, then you know, she's dead, so you don't have to bring her back if you don't want to.
It has been announced. I mean, the sequel supposedly is happening.
You know what I would really like to see is a reverse Terminator thing where Apple comes back, but she's really the villain.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
What would you guys say is the lesson of Turbo Kid?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, there is a right answer, Mike.
Stay hydrated.
That's good, but not quite.
Obey the rules of the wasteland.
Close, oh, yeah. Yeah, getting there.
All right, here's my take at it. Be cool to your friends.
Oh, so Mike, you're
Wait,
saying
what? Be No, that's a laugher?
Mike, you're saying be excellent to each other?
No, that's a whole different thing.
That's a different shit. Movie.
You guys are missing one major lesson from this movie.
Oh.
Eyes, throat, genitals.
Yep.
Eyes, genitals! So, strike first, always surprise your enemy. Strike hard, always remember the weak points of the human body. Eyes, throat, genitals.
Okay.
My last little interesting fact I learned, that Monroe, who's the actor who plays the kid in the film, they had set up a whole day for auditions in Toronto to see, you know, to get actors to come in and audition for his role. He was literally the first person that came in, and they were so blown away. They just sat there and watched everyone else and went, we already got him, sorry.
Oh, wow.
Like, they lucked out, but that's kind of a weird situation to be in.
I hear that happened to George Lucas when casting for young Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, God.
Oh, sorry, Jake Lloyd. I know you're listening. Please write us an email. Give us a 5-star review.
What about more bike facts? I've only gotten like one or two bike facts here.
Oh, you've only got one. I'll give you another bike fact. A bike fact.
Ring, ring.
BMX originated in the late 1960s in Southern California. BMX was invented at the height of the popularity of motocross, a form of off-road motorcycling. As a result, the youth seeking to imitate motocross styles and wanting to come close to death just like their fathers would ride and race these push bikes.
What?
I'm just reading out of the encyclopedias here, Paul.
And that to me sounds like it's rating time.
Rating time.
All right. Well, Mike, because...
Oh, fuck, what?
I love making your life difficult when you make the rating graphics. Now, we didn't really talk about this in the discussion, but one of my favorite lines from Frederick early on. I would like to rate these from 1 to 100 motherfucking comfort zones.
You can't just walk into a man's personal bubble.
His what?
A man's personal space. The arm length radius, yeah? My motherfucking comfort zone. It's family only.
Yeah.
That's good.
You motherfucking...
So, Mike, why don't you go first?
No, why? God, I don't...
Because it's Chris's podcast and he said so.
I know. He's making my life a living hell with motherfucking comfort zones. And I have to rate this first. Fuck, dude. This movie is fucking good. And I don't understand someone not liking it, maybe. Maybe the gore is a little much. But there's a lot of heart in this film. And there's this borderline it runs. This film made me... When you first announced it, Chris, I was like... It's not really a B movie, right? But like homage.
Oh,
but
totally.
It is. No, it is, right? Like, yeah, like it's a low budget. It's a whole thing. Like it is, but it's so well done. And even if it's referential, it doesn't matter because it's so fucking good. I
just do it.
100. Fuck it. This movie's so fucking good.
Holy shit.
I don't know how you wouldn't like it. I don't understand. I think my dad would love this movie. My mom would even like this movie, I think. Like, it's fucking like, and they are people who have like totally different things than I do.
I think it would be pushing it for your mom.
Well, the gore would be a little bit with her. But hey, we've watched some movies recently and, you know, she was into it. Maybe she said heard the word fuck too much, but The Big Sick she cried at. So, I mean...
Wow, another 100.
Yeah, fuck it. I know I've already given 100 this season, and this is why I'm feeling weird about this. But like, I can't imagine not liking this movie. It's fucking really good and really fun, and the amount of what they pulled off of what they had for this is so unbelievable. It's fucking amazing. It's fantastic.
Well said.
All right, Paul.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to piggyback off of what Mike said there, I think as filmmakers ourselves, we have dabbled. You know, when you see something like this, you really appreciate the effort and the care that goes into making something like this work. When you know that there's not a lot of money involved, you know that they're working under difficult conditions and they're just making it, you know, they're making something special. So yeah, there's really not much to not like. I mean, I mentioned a couple nitpicky things, but overall I really liked it. I'm going to go 80 motherfucking comfort zones.
Paul's hard to impress.
Wow, Paul.
That's an 8 out of 10, essentially. That's
You're giving
not
it a
bad.
B?
No, that's good. That's good.
All right, Jay.
Okay, I'm going to piggyback off of Paul piggybacking off of Mike, just like that torso.
It's guy, like the torso.
Like, we're like the torso oh, guy in the end of the film.
We totally forgot to talk about the whole torso stacking when he finally gets the power glove. It's like 8 bodies stacked on top of one guy.
And Chris on the bottom, like just sort of trying to feel it out somehow, like where am I?
I would say this is one of the most rewatchable movies that we've done this season, or maybe just on the podcast ever. I feel like this one is easier to revisit and have fun with the more times you go through it. And one thing that really impressed me was like I said earlier, the production design and the way they designed the world with what they had. There's depth there in the world that they've created, and everything is explained, and they just did a great job with the construction of that, and I really appreciated that. So I'm going to give it 93.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I thought this was great.
Very nice.
Well, Jay, I just really want to piggyback off of you, piggybacking off of Paul, who piggybacked off of Mike, that I agree with everything you guys said. I mean, you can tell there was a lot of care put into this movie. Nobody phoned it in. Even Michael Ironside, probably the only recognizable name, unless you're really into Canadian teen dramas, that anyone would recognize. Even he, like, you could tell he even cared about, like, his part and his role. He did a fantastic job, and everyone did. And even the Blood Brothers with their gore, a lot of thought was put into so much blood spraying everywhere. It's not easy to keep that stuff from freezing, like Mike said. So I'm gonna go between Mike and Paul here. I'm gonna give it 90 motherfucking comfort zones.
There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is this one of the highest rated?
It's up there. It's got to be up there.
Yeah.
But I agree, Chris, a little bit with, like, I wouldn't say it's forgettable, but it didn't give me the B-movie feels in the same way that, like, a Fateful Findings or a Big Money Rustlers or something like that, where at the end of it you're just like, holy fuck.
Like, there wasn't the normal amount of pain you associate with B-movie.
So enjoyable. Like,
wait, why am I not suffering?
No, it really is a great B-movie, and kudos to the filmmakers for pulling it off.
All right, Paul, did the filmmakers of your next pick pull it off?
Oh, no, they did not.
Oh, no.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania,
let's take a little road trip and go back to school, even if it's just for one night. Let's enter a world of math and magic. A town where combat is commonplace and nothing is quite what it seems, in the land of college prophets.
Oh my
God. Oh,
no.
Yep, that's the reaction I wanted.
Paul, did you notice? There's no reaction from here because I have no idea what you're talking
you've
about.
You've seen it, Chris.
Yeah, you've seen it.
Oh my God, it must have been so bad.
It was the same night that we watched a Fish Story. Do you remember? It's like, it's Mortal Kombat on a college campus with shot on like a handy cam.
Oh shit. Oh my God, no. No. Oh my God. Paul, can we just watch a Fish Story instead?
No.
That movie's awesome.
No, Fish
Paul,
story.
Pick this. I am so excited for this.
Sweet.
Where is the streaming,
you know,
Paul?
I got into that mythos, Paul.
Oh my God.
It is available for free for anyone to watch on YouTube.
Now I know why you said you waited a year for this.
I did. I picked this movie a year ago. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do for season two? Fucking Land of College Prophets. Let's get the well that eats fucking children on this podcast.
Paul, what are you doing to my motherfucking comfort zone?
God damn it. Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They're touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Thanks for listening to another episode of B-Movie Mania. I hope you had fun, and please, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and buy a t-shirt from bmoviemania.com.
And remember, eyes, throat, genitals.
Eyes, throat, genitals. Eyes, throat, genitals.
Why didn't we say that? Why didn't we all say eyes, throat, genitals instead of B-Movie Mania in the beginning?
Let's do it right now.
It's not too late.
Right. Yeah.
Eyes, throat, genitals.